If you would look in 1 John, the 4th chapter, and then 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, we begun a while back a series that we're calling Try the Spirits. And this is our main text here in 1 John 4 and 1. First John 4 and 1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. This is another way of saying, don't believe everything that you hear.
Yes,
including things that are definitely spiritual.
Amen.
Just because it's spiritual, that doesn't mean it's God.
Right.
Don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits. Now that word try is also translated examine and test and prove. Test them. And so like we mentioned last time I was with you that we're going to get into some practical things about how to do that. Because the scripture told us to do it.
Amen.
We're to examine things and test it, prove it. Well, in order to examine thing or try it or prove it, you have to have something to check it against.
Amen.
To try it against. And obviously the first thing is going to be the written word.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit. This is first. And so the less you know of the word, the easier you are to be fooled. And deceived.
Right.
And the less you know the Holy Spirit, same thing. The easier you are. You get to know the Holy Spirit through the Word. Because even though there's different human vessels that the Word came through, it's the same Spirit speaking in Genesis as in Matthew.
Yeah.
It's the same voice. Came through a different human author, but it's the same Spirit. And so he goes on to say, try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so these wrong spirits are manifesting through these false prophets. And one thing you need to know about the devil himself, he never comes as the devil. So if you're looking for the devil with horns and a pitchfork, you're looking for the wrong thing. Writing to the saints at Corinth, the Spirit of God through Paul said that Satan transforms himself into a messenger from God. He tries to convince you that he's from God. And those that are working with him do the same thing. So it's not obvious. And they know religious language very well. And so the first step of this is that you are not quick to believe everything.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Don't be quick. Now we are taught, and this is good, to trust God completely, immediately, unquestioningly.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
The written word?
Yes.
Yes. But everybody else? No. No.
No.
No. Why? Because they're human. And even if they mean well, they don't know everything. And because of the lack of knowledge, and people can make mistakes. And so you must test things, try things. 1 Corinthians talks about trying or testing prophecies. Just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, that doesn't mean it is. In fact, part of it could be, thus saith the Lord, and part of it could be, thus saith them. It's a fact. Don't care who they are. And just because somebody says they're a prophetess doesn't mean they are. Or somebody says they're an apostle or a prophet doesn't mean they are. In 1 Thessalonians 5, now this doesn't do away with the real. There is the real. But you don't just accept things on, you know, face value and titles and that kind of thing. Every one, every message, every prophecy, every vision, every experience, you should start off very skeptical. Somebody didn't like that. Someone say it again slower. Anything coming through a human being, a man or a woman, they can miss it. Even the best intentioned people. And so whatever you're hearing or, teaching, preaching, vision, prophecy, whatever, the first thing you should be thinking is, okay, where is that in the Word?
That's right.
The Bible. Where is that in the Word, in the Scripture? And if it disagrees with any part of the Word, you need to shut it off. Because you know that's not the Holy Spirit. He's not going to contradict himself.
That's right.
And if it's the Holy Spirit that giving something to them or speaking through them, you've got the same Holy Spirit inside you.
Right?
And if it is the Holy Spirit, even if it's brand new to your head, it'll be very familiar to your heart. You'll recognize that same Holy Spirit that you interact with 24/7. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he said in verse 19, he said, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Look at your neighbor. Help them out. Say, test everything.
Yes.
Test everything.
Yes.
What about what I preach to you?
Yes.
Good. That's what I wanted to hear. You test everything. Why? Because my biggest weakness is I'm like you. Right? I don't know everything. I could make a mistake. I could jump to a conclusion. Now, I endeavor not to. But there have been times I've had to come back and say, you know that thing I said? That's not right. I was wrong. I learned. You grow. Say it again. Test everything.
Test everything.
Hold on to what's good and stay away from every kind of evil. The message says it like this. Verse 19, don't suppress the Spirit and don't stifle those that have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. My father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, who's in heaven now, he'd say this often. He'd say, have as much sense as an old cow. Eat the hay, but leave the sticks. Right? And you'll see that with cows and livestock. If you put hay out, sometimes it's got sticks and stuff in it. You come back later, and the hay will be gone, but the sticks will be laying there. They ate the hay, and they left the stick. So how many figure you're at least as smart as an old cow? Not calling anybody any names. Just, Isn't that what he's saying? Test everything. Check it out. And if it's good, hold on to it. If it's not, leave it alone. Now, we're celebrating Mother's Day today. And the Scripture tells us some very specific things concerning mothers and fathers. And it ties in with what I was going to get to in our series anyway. So the title of my message is Listen to Your Mother. And all the mothers said,
amen.
Oh yeah, yeah, hey, amen. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Now, this is not optional. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And it's not based on their performance. It's not based on anything they have to earn or merit. And you must understand this. There are times in any leadership position where you may not be able to fully appreciate or even accept everything that a person in a place of authority says or does, but you must respect the place they have, or you wind up disrespecting God who put them in the place. And what we're going to touch on is that every God-appointed place is accompanied by God-given grace. Every God-appointed place is accompanied by God-given grace. And so, your mother and father, both naturally and spiritually, will have graces that you don't have. No matter how much you pray, how much you study, they'll have graces you don't have simply because of the place. And this is God ordained. He set it up this way. He set up the family unit, the father, the mother, the elder child, the younger child. He could have done it how many other ways? But that's how he chose to do it. There's so many things that go along with that, but it's right and it's good. Honor has the idea of valuing, treating as important. Your mother, your father, naturally and spiritually. This includes physically the woman that carried you, gave birth to you. If somebody else was a mother to you, and your mother was not there, but there became a mother to you, you honor that. A spiritual mother, you honor that, right? Not to say that person, everything they say and everything they do is going to always be perfect. You know that's not going to be the case because they're human like you. But the fact that God put somebody in your life, hallelujah, that would care about you and that would endeavor to help you from an unselfish point and put into you and invest into you, take care of you. This is a gift from God. It is to be respected and honored forever. Are y'all with me? And I mean irrespective of what your mother or your father does. If they go off the rails and go crazy and do stupid stuff, bad stuff, well, you can't respect all of that and you can't be a part of all that. But you still show honor because God told you to. You still speak respectfully about them. Under the law, if you cursed your mother and father, you were stoned to death. That's how serious it is. If you cursed your mama, you cursed your father, you died. So that it wouldn't spread through the people. Because, you know, I mean, the next, if it happened on the weekend, then the next Monday or Tuesday, somebody said, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? What? Yeah, he cussed his mama. Well, what happened to him? Well, they're having his funeral tomorrow. That'll really cut down on kids cussing their parents. Now, thank God for his mercy and grace today. Or elsewise, it'd be a lot more funerals. Huh? But it doesn't change the fact, why did the Lord ever say that or do that? Because of how bad it is. And it doesn't matter what your mother or father did. It doesn't matter what they did. You would never have a right to curse them. Or hit them. I said, or hit them. Never. And we're told to honor them. You see these words up over the top of the platform here? Huh? Man, God's big on it. He's big, big, big. Those that honor me, he said, I will honor. Well, part of honoring him is giving honor to those to whom he says honor is due. And that's why this commandment to honor your father and mother comes with a promise. And it was the first commandment to come with a promise. What's the promise? Let me finish reading it to you. Yeah, most of you know it. Huh? Honor your father and mother, Deuteronomy 5:16, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged. Anybody want to live a long time? Be nice to your mama. I'm serious. Be nice to your daddy and your grandma and your grandpa and your spiritual mother and your spiritual father. In doing so, you're honoring the Lord. That your days may be prolonged, and this is not just, you know, just living a long time. Suffering is not a good thing, but it going well with you. You're living a long time. And you're not just suffering, it's going well with you. It is well with your soul. It is well with your mind. It is well with your health. It is well with your finances. It is well with your family. What are we talking about? Treating your mama right. Treating your father right. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord gives you. Now go to Ephesians, if you would, because this is repeated in the New Testament. But I want to look at what led up to this in Ephesians 6. Actually, yeah, Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And they don't have to explain to you why. Right. Because I said so is a perfectly good thing to say. I'm telling you, because that's how God treats us. He says, do it. And if you say, well, how come? He'll say, because I said so.
That's right.
There's some things you can't explain to a three-year-old.
That's right.
And in learning to listen to you, they're learning to listen to God. They can transfer that right over to him when they get old enough to understand. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So not obeying them is not right. Number two, honor your father and mother. Now that's a different thing. When you become an adult, you're no longer a child. And the commandment is not for you to obey your parents as an adult. As a child, you are to obey. As an adult, you are to honor. Not the same thing. Honor. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Is this word correct?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
Could you count on it?
Yes.
That if you did what he's telling you to do here,
yes,
that you'd live long on the earth.
Yes.
What's that worth? And living long, while you're living long, it's going good. It's going well with you. Is this true?
Yes.
We haven't talked enough about this.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
How many want to live a long time?
Yes.
How many want it to go well, go good with you? Then what must you do?
Honor.
You must show honor and regard and respect and value to your mother, your father, both natural and spiritual. Whoever is a real mother in your life or a real father in your life. Now, there, you know, there are those women who gave birth, but they never were a mother. The child and the person never knew them. And so it doesn't have to be your blood mother, but somebody who's actually a mother to you.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
Same with the father. And the reason we're talking about this, if this is the sixth chapter, in verse 11, which is just a few verses later, he goes into talking about put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes on to talk about how that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Is he talking about wrong spirits?
Yes.
Do these go together?
Yes.
They do.
Amen.
This is something many have not seen. One of the big things that makes people susceptible to not recognizing a wrong spirit and then yielding to a wrong spirit and letting wrong things happen in their life is, like we've already touched on, ignorance of God's word and his spirit. But also two big ones are fear and pride. These things make people susceptible to being deceived and confused and misled. Why is it that if you listen as a child, you obey your parents, and as adult, you continue to show honor and respect to your parents? Why is it that that's going to result in you living a long time? It's not magic. What's the connection? Why is it that you doing that is going to result in things going well and going good for you in life? And it happening for a long time? Because in yielding to good leadership and people that have been graced to lead you and help you, you learned how to distinguish between good and bad.
Amen.
Oh, come on, y'all with me. You learned how to try it and test it, because in the earliest parts of your life, you have no experience. Hmm? So you're easier to fool. But thank God, he has put people in your life that have experience. And if you'll listen to them, I said, if you will show respect and you will listen to them, then things that you thought were okay, and they're saying, no, don't do that. Don't go with that. If you'll just listen and show respect, as you grow, there'll be a point where you look back and go, oh, now I see why, right? At the time, you did not.
Amen.
Is it true that, the scripture says that when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Is it true when you're 5, you don't see and understand things like when you're 15? Is it true or not? There's a whole lot of stuff you're just clueless about. And the problem is, you don't know how clueless you are. You don't know what you don't know. Well, if it's true from 5 to 15, why wouldn't it be true from 15 to 50? Huh? It is true. Especially if you're talking about a man or woman that's walking with God and learning and growing. But see, pride doesn't listen. Obadiah said, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Pride makes you easy to fool. You know, and you'll see it. From the time a child gets to be even, 9, 10 years old, 13 years old, especially the teen years, if they're not thinking right, they get to thinking, mom and dad's old fogey. They're not with it. They don't know. They're not keeping up with the times. And what they don't realize is that they are deceived into thinking they know more than they do. And the enemy is counting on that to mislead them and hurt them. But if you were a smart teenager, you would listen. And here's the thing. Even though you might be 50 years old, you could be a teenager spiritually. Depending on when you were born again, how long you've been walking with the Lord. And we'll see in this same book of Ephesians, go back to the 4th chapter. The 4th chapter of Ephesians and the 8th verse. Now the 4th came before the 6th. Right? So I'm just saying this book builds to this and includes this. Wherefore, he says, when he ascends up on high, he led captivity captive and gave what?
Gifts.
Gifts to men. What kind of gifts is he talking about? He's talking about people. Right? People. Keep going. Verse 9. He that ascended, he's also the one that descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He obtained an eternal redemption for us. Keep going. Let's skip on down to verse 11 here. He gave some, these are his gifts he's talking about. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, these he's talking about would be the Holy Spirit on them and through them, not a wrong spirit. And he's saying they are a gift to you. Huh? For what purpose? Why do I need this gift? Keep reading. For the perfecting of the saints. Do you need any perfecting? Perfecting has to do with developing. And when one is perfect, it doesn't mean they're flawless. It means they're fully developed. This has to do with our development. Does anybody need any development?
Yes.
Well, God gave you some gifts.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But they do you no good if you think you know it all. And you won't listen. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Keep going. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. And again, fully developed person. Fully developed. When you're 8, 9, 10, you're not fully developed. Right? When you're 15, you're not fully developed. a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Keep going. Now here's what we, you might have thought I digressed. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. How can I tell what's a wrong spirit and what's the Holy Spirit? How can I tell? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What kind of picture does this paint? Unstable.
Yeah.
Unstable young ones who are on this. Oh, I'm not on it anymore. Up, down, in, out. Believing stuff you shouldn't believe. Being fooled. Being misled. What's the context, though? Context. He gave us gifts to develop us to prevent this from happening. Oh, come on. Can you see this?
Yes.
To prevent this from happening. But it'll only benefit you if you honor them. Honor includes giving them a place in your life. Keep reading. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. That means that you, if that's happening, you didn't discern that it was a wrong spirit. You believed something that was a lie was true. You bought into it and it moved you around. And then you changed like the wind. And then you were deceived by craftiness of the enemy. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Well, see, how am I going to know the spirit of... In that same passage we read in 1 John 4, he talked about hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How are we going to know this? We know it by the Word of God. We know it by the Holy Spirit. And while we're learning and growing and wet behind the ears, God has given us gifts to help us that have experience in these things. And if we will listen, we will be spared from being tossed about on every wave, carried about with every wind of doctrine. I know back, oh man, this would have been in the mid-80s, I guess. Phyllis and I were at Rhema in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I had gone to Bible school, and then we stayed on to help them and was helping in the prayer school, the healing school. And about that time, there were some things begin to happen in the city in some meetings that appeared to me to be legitimate signs and wonders. And I went to some of the services and was impressed. What are you laughing about? Because they had scriptures. They had scriptures. And it was some spectacular things. And of course, young Bible school students, full of excitement, and we're wanting to see some signs and wonders, and still do. But this was went on for a matter of weeks, and I was in, I don't know, several of these meetings, and Brother Hagin, my elder, he gets up and begins to talk about some of it. He didn't call any names, but I could tell. He's saying it's not right. And my first thought was, yeah, but they have scriptures. Right? And the word's supposed to be first. Y'all are looking at me strange. And I guess we were what, 19, 20, something like that, years old. And So I got a choice to make. Now, some of the people that heard it, some of the younger people that heard what Brother Hagin said, they didn't like it. They said, oh, no, no, no. And then somebody came up with this revelation. They said, well, you know, Brother Hagin's getting older. And, you know, he's of the Moses generation. Because Moses didn't go into the promised land. But Joshua did. And we're of the Joshua generation that's going on in. Now, why am I telling y'all this? What do you have to do here? Discern. Right? You got to discern, okay, who's right? What's right? And tell me the thing that makes you vulnerable to being deceived. Fear and pride doesn't listen. Pride thinks it knows it all. And so I heard that, and that struck me wrong. I thought, that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful to our elder. I don't like that. So I prayed about it. Took it to the Lord. And I was also in some services where Brother Hagin was teaching and preaching. And he brought up that in the early days of his ministry, they had get-free meetings and loosening meetings and deliverance meetings. And he said, we had every kind of manifestation you ever heard of and some you shouldn't have heard of. And he talked about how that after all of their gyrations, he'd visit the people and they still had the same problems they had before. They had the special meeting. He said, so, and I thought while he's telling all that, and he got to the place where the Lord showed him how to get results from the word and from faith that last, and how to discern. I thought while he's telling, I thought, well, now hold on. He's been there. He's been there. He's seen these things. He's heard these things. He's got 50 years of experience on me. And God sent me here. Come on now, with me or not? God did not send me here to disrespect and act like I know it all in 2 years. So it looks like they are legit to me. It looks like they got scripture for it. But I'm going to cool my jets and stay here, right? And just watch and learn and give it time. And I'll be honest with you. It took me probably a year, a full year, to see it. But eventually I did. I saw it and I thought, that ain't right. Why did it seem right to me? Inexperience. Inexperience with the things of the Spirit. Just because it was spiritual. See, that's what was throwing me. And they had scripture. But it wasn't God. It wasn't God. And man, I was so glad. 2 years down the road. Because some of the folks did. They unhooked. They left. They did their own thing. And it did not end well for them. It ended badly for them. Because it was wrong spirits involved. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving an example. God gave us gifts. He gave us the gifts of our fathers and mothers, both naturally and spiritually. And if we'll listen. You know, some years ago, the Lord said this to me about this in a time of waiting on Him. He said, many of my people, he said, are working without a net. Now that's a circus term. Working without a net. Like the high wire and the trapeze thing. Well, what's the danger if you're working without a net? If you fall, right? I mean, you're okay if you don't fall. But if you fall, there is nothing between you and that hard ground. Right? And what he went on to say to me is that he, this very verse, he gave us gifts. He said, but many of my people have not given these gifts the place in their life to speak into their life. And so they're working without a net. They won't submit anything to their elders for examination. And if their elders tell them, no, don't do it that way, they won't listen. This is a big problem. And so you're working without the safety that God provided for you. Now, go with me to 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy. Well, I tell you what, before we do that, you go to 1 Timothy and I'll just read these. On the screen, put up Proverbs 1 and 7. But you go to 1 Timothy. What's the title of the message? Listen to your mother. Listen to your father. Proverbs 1, and you know the writing of Proverbs is primarily about wisdom. And notice what it starts off with. The fear of the Lord. Now let's just stop right there. The fear of the Lord includes the honor and the reverence and the respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it starts. That's why people who mock, make fun of the Bible, make fun of church, they will never understand anything of God. Because you don't even get started unless and until you show respect. You show respect to God. Don't you think the one that gives you your next breath, the one whose gravity is holding your feet on the ground, that you should show some respect?
Yeah.
Well, that's where knowledge begins. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They despise what?
Wisdom.
Well, see, this is something that's coming from somewhere else. This is coming from through somebody else to them. Wisdom and instruction, somebody's trying to help them, but a fool will do what?
Despise.
They despise it. Don't want to hear it. They already know. Verse 8, my son, do what?
Hear
the instruction of your father. Now, he's talking about the beginning of knowledge. He's talking about the fear of the Lord. He's talking about not despising what God's trying to give you. And he says right in the middle of it, listen to your daddy. Don't forsake the law of your mother. They will be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck. Spiritually, they will adorn you and protect you and enlighten you and help you. Something's got to be going on for it to go well with you and you live a long time on the earth. This is major. The sixth chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 6 and 20. 6 and 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. Well, then you're not rejecting them. You're not throwing them off. You're receiving them. You're taking it and tying it around your neck going, I'm keeping that. I'm staying with that. When you go, it will lead you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. When you wake, it'll talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. What? To keep you on the right path and to keep you out of the deception and darkness and being fooled and tricked and misled. Amen. Proverbs 23:22. He said, hearken to your father that begat you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Why? Well, one area you will never catch your elders in is experience. No matter how much you pray, study, how smart you think you are, you will never catch them. In experience, why? Because they got started before you did. And that's part of what makes them valuable. He said, buy the truth, sell it not, wisdom, instruction, understanding, and the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. The father, your father and your mother will be glad, and she that bare you shall rejoice. Whether you're a baby spiritually, or whether you're young and a teenager naturally, the same thing is true. You do not have to be proud and stupid and act like you know it all. You can be spiritual and have some understanding and listen to your elders. I'm so glad my mom and dad put some of these things in us when we were small. My great-grandfather was still alive when I was a little boy, and we'd go over to their house sometime. And I guess at this point, he would have been about 90, and I was a little boy. And my dad, before we'd go into their little house, my dad would look at us two boys. We were small, and he'd say, "Now, boys," he'd call his name. He said, your grandpa been alive a long time. He knows a lot of things. He knows more than you do. Be quiet and don't do all the talking and listen." And so, you know, it's hard to be quiet all the time when you're little. But I still remember it. Amen. To this day. And we did. And that is exactly what the Lord told us to do. Honor and show respect and listen. Now, go with me to Timothy now. 1 Timothy 2. We mentioned this earlier. I want to say it again. A God appointed place is accompanied with God-given grace. Now, anything else wouldn't be fair. If God gave you a responsibility, but he didn't give you the grace to do it, that wouldn't be right, wouldn't be good. So, if God puts somebody in a place that comes with grace. Grace connected to the place. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, he's talking about men and women. And he's talking particularly about husbands and wives. And here he says, "I will therefore," he talked about women being modest and godly, and then he said, "I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Who pray? Men. Men are supposed to lead in spiritual things, like praying. Supposed to lead. Men. And then he skips down to verse 13 or so. He said, "Adam was first formed, and then Eve." Why is he bringing that up? Then he says, "And Adam was what? Not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Now, people have not understood this, and they've thought it was a sex thing, a male-female thing. It's not. It did not mean Adam was more intelligent than Eve. Or that a man is more intelligent than a woman. Anybody that's been around men and women very long knows that ain't true. But what did we just get through talking about? A place. God made him first and gave him the place of headship. And what came with that place? A grace that Eve didn't have. Now, him not being deceived perhaps makes his sin even more grievous. But It reveals something that God has given grace with the place. And we need to keep this in mind. Now, I realize there are fathers, mothers, pastors, spiritual people that act very carnally. And you can't follow everything they say and do. And sadly, there are parents, mothers, fathers that are so selfish and so insecure that they do things that's not good for the kids to try to keep the kids depending on them. This is bad. This is not godly. And one of the things I have so appreciated about my parents, and especially my spiritual parents, our father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, stepped down from what we were doing in their ministry and went full-time with our own, we were traveling with them and doing a number of things with them that they had come to appreciate, I think. And when I told him that we were thinking about leaving, I could tell by the expression on his face, he wasn't happy with that. And he had already talked to me about doing more. And if he had said, Keith, I don't think it's God, I'd listen to him. He's my elder and a spiritual man. But he didn't. He didn't. And what was the words he said, Phyllis, at that? He said, well, we don't want to get in the Lord's way. And whatever you got on your heart to do, you need to do it. He said, you're not getting any younger. That, to me, ministers to me this day, because I know that wasn't his personal preference.
Right, right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he cares about us.
Yes.
And is unselfish. This is a real gift.
Yeah.
This is a godly person. And that's how you and I want to be.
Yeah.
And anyone's, whether they're spiritual young or natural young, you want to wean them off of you onto the Holy Spirit as soon as you can, because it's safer for them. And soon and very soon, you're not going to be able to do everything they need done and answer all their questions and take care of everything. That's the thing. And unselfish parents, natural and spiritual, that's what they'll do. And they'll be there without trying to intrude and without trying to run your life. And it is safe. Have you seen, I know you have, how the enemy has mocked fathers on these sitcom TV shows? I mean, just about every one of them portrays a father as an imbecile, this an embarrassment for the whole family, and even a lot of times a mother too, that the children have to tell the parents what's going on. These are workings of the enemy, wrong spirits, because when it's right, you can talk and get good counsel from your natural parents, spiritual parents, if they're spiritual people especially, your whole life.
Yes.
I said your whole life.
Yes.
And it can be very valuable because you have not been as far down the road as they have.
Amen.
And sometimes what they learned by making a mistake.
Yes.
Right? But they learned and they grew. And so, no, it wasn't that Adam was more intelligent than Eve. It was that there was a grace that came with the place. And this is true with these gifts that the Lord talked about. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. If that's the real thing, there's a grace that comes with that. And they'll see things and discern things you wouldn't quickly see, especially when you're younger and less experienced spiritually. And if you're smart, you won't work without a net. You will utilize these gifts that God has given you. And when they say something to you, you will listen and you will heed it. And if you do, it'll save you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You believe this?
Yes.
Stand on your feet, everybody. Thanks be to God. Isn't He good to us? He's given us gifts. Given us gifts. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's pray over it and say, Father God, I thank you for the gifts you've given us.
Thank you
for godly men and women, mothers, fathers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Give me understanding to see the value of these through your eyes, and show me how to give place and take heed that I not be misled, hurt, destroyed. Thank you, Lord, for looking out for me. By your help, I will listen. In Jesus' name.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.